Yep.
Okay. Let's see the shalom. Kuf Pei Vav. Good morning. Good morning.
Oh, now we can start. Okay. Got shit.
Indian. Okay, this mamer is called Sharei Tefillah, the Gates of Tefillah. Indian Tefillah is Nimtza Bahem Koyach HaPu'ula HaNifloa Asher Hi Kalula. The concept of Tefillah is of prayers. One can find in them it has a power that encompasses the following. L'ish ha-doyrish es Hashem v'kirvosa yechbots, starting from someone who seeks Hashem and seeks His closeness. Mikol inyone emuna. And then there is, within tefillah, one can find all concepts of emuna, of faith. V'kabolas malchus shemayim shalema, and accepting the yoke of heaven in its totality. Avdus b'lev of shalem, serving Hashem with a full heart. Yira ahava edvekus, fear, love, and connection. Hachnoye v'shtachavoye, subjugation and prostration. V'chulam. V'haydezeb al etshuva v'chulam. And through all of this, a person comes to tshuva. So, in what the Nesiv Shalom is saying, that in tefillah encompasses a lot. One who seeks Hashem, seeks His closeness, emuna, kabbalas malchus shemayim, avoda b'lev shalem, yira ahava dveikus, achnoah shtachavoya. V'hinei mistaber.
Then we go to the mikveh afterwards, and we have tshuva.
No, you need mikveh beforehand.
Yeah, but I thought you needed tshuva before you did the mikveh.
No, you need mikveh before you did tshuva.
Hine
mistaber ki kimoi shatfilin nimtze ba koyach ha-pu'ula niflo al ha-shpia kol anyonim alohim.
Isn't it the opposite of what you said the shir yesterday? Don't you need the tshuva before mikveh?
Oh, that's what you're referring
yeah,
to.
Yeah, that's all about
the yes, no, you actually need tshuva while you're going to mikveh.
The rabbi had said 2 weeks ago in Sidur Shal Shabbos that the first dip
right, that's
gets rid of the schmutz,
uh-huh.
And second dip.
Right.
But only if you're doing it in your heart. It's not the dip that does it. So.
Yep. Now, he says that it is logical that just like the tefillah davening has within it the power, the potential to bestow upon a person all of these concepts. You can move that shtender away and sit on that.
Is anyone sitting here?
Yochmiel's here. Shem Yisoyde HaTorah, right? It has the power to instill within a person all of these above mentioned koyches, which are the foundations of Torah. K'mayichen ha'anyanim alolu hem ha'yisoydes mehem tivne v'siskoinen ha'tfilah haruya. So just like the tefillah has within it all of these powers, it would seem logical that all of these different mentioned elements of Avodas Hashem are the foundations upon which tefillah, the proper tefillah, can be built. Meaning, no, actually, Peretz did touch upon something very, very apropos, because we learned in Siddur Shal Shabbos that tefillah in the mikveh, right, is the internal meaning is tshuva, right? And then a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about that there's a Magen Avraham that says that the reason you have to go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur is because tshuva requires tefillah, right? So tefillah is, so tshuva is like the prerequisite for tefillah, and it's also, tefillah accomplishes tshuva, so it works both ways. So here he's saying, the Sivah Shalom is saying, that tefillah, davening, brings a person to emunah and kabbalas malchus shemayim and ahava and dveikus and all of the above. And now he's saying, but real tefillah would be built upon all of these different things. Meaning ahava and yira and kabbalas malchus shemayim and emunah should be the prerequisite for a proper tefillah. So it's going to work both ways. Right? And it could be understood very very easily that yes, one can daven without all of these things, and tefillah can bring a person closer to all of these different strengths. But if you have these strengths before you begin davening, it's going to be a lot more powerful. Now, he says, obviously, the first of all of these above mentioned dimensions of Avodas Hashem, Hema Emuna B'Habitochen, is Emuna B'Tochen, faith and trust in the Rabbeinu Shleilo. Shehem Horeka HaKloli L'Nyonei Tfila, but they are the general the general Reka means the
Building block.
Raka is
foundation.
It's the basic base for tefillah. Kigoyel vehiras and manasai. For example, the clarity one requires, the clarity of Amuna, that Hashem listens to prayers. Before you begin davening, you need at least that Amuna, that Hashem is listening to you. And that to Him Himself, It is only befitting to daven to Him. And that it is not befitting to daven to anything else. Uchamidas betchoinoi, that's emuna. And then also betochen. Shafilam eino hagun veino kedai yirachem alav kirachem avav benoi. One needs the betochen, the trust that even if I am unworthy, the Rebbeinu Shloim will have compassion upon me like a father has to his son. Unconditional love.
What about the Gemara brachas that the Kishari Tefillah are closed? Only the Kishari Dim are open.
Well, you can cry.
But this doesn't say cry.
It's for it's a separate shmos.
Kishari Tefillah are closed?
It says more.
The Gemara says that since the Churban Beis Hamikdash, the gates of Tefillah are closed and only the gates of tears are open.
So what are we doing three times?
So the I'm sure he's gonna. He'll talk about it. But there's a part from the Sapmaruf, which is he said there's another Gemara. The Gemara says on the pasuk Krum Zulus of Nei Adam, the Gemara says that the pasuk is referring to Tefillah. And the Gemara says, "Ilu dvarim ha'im demirume shalaylam." These are things that stand in the height of the world, referring to tefillah. And b'nei adam is also them. And people don't appreciate its importance. The Gemara says tefillah is something that is very, very, very high, very lofty, and people don't appreciate its importance. So this, Samarov says, what does that mean? It's dvarim ha'im demirume shalaylam. Something. There are things that stand at the height of the world. So he answers according to the Gemara that Peretz mentioned that tefillah, that the gates of tefillah are closed, only the gates of tears are open. So he says what happens is all the tefillahs ascend, and they stand by the gates until somebody downs with tears, opens the gates, and everything goes through. He says, but tefillah stand at the height of the world until such point that someone that tears come along. He said tears are like the keys that open the gates. Once that someone damas with tears, everyone's tefillahs go through.
That's why.
Until that point, they stand at the height of the world, standing, waiting by those gates.
That's why people daven here 3 times a day, so that they can provide a minion for him, so that his tears
right
with the tefillah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just one explanation of the Gemara, but I'm sure he'll address it as well. Well, let's take a step back. Who needs the gates of tefillah anyway?
Gates what of are tefillah. The gates of tefillah?
Right.
We must be talking about it here.
We're talking when you daven with tefillah v'tzibur, especially tefillah v'tzibur, you're davening directly. The Shekhinah is here. Mm-hmm. You don't need our tefillahs necessarily to ascend through the gates of tefillah. So it's we'll get there.
Set that question aside for a moment.
So one needs bitachon that even if we're unworthy, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will have compassion upon us like a father has on a child. According to, says the Nesiv HaShalom, according to a person's emunah, and according to a person's bitachon, meaning according to the emunah that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam listens to everyone, according to the bitachon that the person trusts, that Hashem accepts our tefillahs, even though we're unworthy. According to that amun of bitachon, that is how much a person's mouth and heart will open in tefillah. And he'll feel that he is standing opposite Hashem. And the person will be able to pour out his heart before him. And based on his amunah v'tochan, so will his tefillahs be accepted to Hashem, before Hashem. I mean, the first part is very easy to understand, right? If you don't believe that your tefillahs are being listened to, if you think you're unworthy of your tefillahs, that your tefillahs should be accepted, then obviously you're not going to daven with that same with the same emotion. You don't feel your tefillahs are accomplishing anything. But if you believe that your tefillahs are accomplishing something, it's going to open your heart. Your tefillahs are going to be a lot more meaningful. But he says, it's not only that it makes the impression upon yourself, but it's going to affect the acceptance of your tefillahs. The more, if you believe it's going to be accepted, according to your trust that your tefillahs are going to be accepted, that is how much they're going to be accepted. And we're probably all coming to the immediate assumption that we believe that our tefillahs are being listened to, right? And that we believe that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam accepts our tefillahs. This is not the case. If we would believe that, our tefillahs would look a lot better. We obviously don't believe that. The fact that we're able just to say the words and sometimes they're there without any feeling, we obviously don't believe that our words aren't making an impression.
But obviously many times you down and nothing happened too.
Well, we don't necessarily have to see anything happen. You know, do you give your kids everything they ask for?
No, I don't.
No.
They're asking.
You keep on asking.
Doesn't mean that it's good.
Sometimes the answer is no.
That's a good answer. Good.
Are you trying to do something bad to your kids when you tell them no? No, you mean it for their own good. Usually. Huh? Kemam Emorim Baal Beis Avrom, so it's going to lay in Ala Pazik Veschan Nal Hashem. As the Beis Avrom says on the Pazik Veschan Nal Hashem, the Isabah Chazal, Chazal say, Kemoshe Yisbal Tav Kuf Tezvav Tfilet Kemini Veschana. Chazal say that Moshe davened 515 tefillahs to go into Eretz Yisrael. That's the gematria of Eschana. Pirush al pi mamre, because what does that mean? That he davened 515 tefillahs. So he explains, according to the pasuk in Tehillim, Pana el tefillahs la'aror le'biza es tefillosam. Because of Zoyz the Dor Achron, Vam Nivri Yahal Ka. The Pasuk sounds like this in Tehillim. That Hashem turns to the prayer of the Arad. The Arad is the
uncircumcised.
What? Uncircumcised. No, it's not the Arad. Arad means the impoverished. He turns to the tefillah of the impoverished. And he does not degrade their tefillah. Let this be written for the later generations, and the created nation will praise Hashem. That's what David Melech says. What does this mean? Sheyesh etzayakim harbe, because there are those that cry out a lot, and they don't feel like they're being answered. Va'ad shelibam espoitzes bekirbam, to the point that their heart bursts within them. They don't see any. They don't see that their tefillahs are accomplishing anything. Acho emesu, but the truth is sheyehudim chuyav lahamen. A Jew is obligated to believe ki chol tefillah, that every prayer va'afilu tenua ba'alma sheyehudi poneh laKadosh Baruch Hu, and even a small. Every small movement that a Jew of a Jew turning to Hashem in Olechas Le'ibud does not get lost. Nothing is for naught. Not one prayer and not even one movement in the direction of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Nothing is for naught. V'zesh Omer HaKosim, this is what the Pasuk says, Pana el tfilas ha'arar, Hashem turns to the prayer of the Arar. What is the Arar? Okay, so the understanding, literal understanding in Tehillim is, it means the impoverished. But what is a Arar? An Arar is, who ate Srak, it's a tree that does not bear fruit. Hagodl Bamidbar, that grows in the desert. Ve'im b'shum lachluchas, it has no dampness. It's a dry, fruitless tree. That's why the impoverished is called an arar. Afila, so meaning, afilu tefila yevesha, meaning when it says that Hashem turns to the prayer of a arar, it means even a dry tefila. She'ein bo lachluchas de kedusha, it has no dampness of kedusha. V'chines tefilas arar, gam betefila kezula ibiza. Even this type of prayer Hashem does not degrade. Obviously, it doesn't have the koyach of a tefillah that's said with ahava and yira and with lachluchis, but it can't be worse than a movement in the direction of Hashem. Nothing gets lost.
I know why we have so many tissue boxes and kalkusidim lachluchis.
Is that a case where Moshe Rabbeinu has davened so many times to Hashem and asking what he wanted, Hashem said, don't do that, because if you do it one more time, I got to change the whole world.
Right. Yeah.
So he did get an answer.
After 515 times.
So why didn't Moshe say, so that's what I'm asking for, please change the world?
Okay.
Because what Moshe, all Moshe wanted was Hashem's will. He didn't care about his own will. For 515 tefillahs, he thought it was Hashem's will that he should daven for it. Uh-huh. As soon as Hashem told him, I don't want this. Okay, that's it.
No, but not by that quotation. He's not saying, Hashem's not saying, I don't want this. He's saying, I'll have to change the world.
No, it wasn't said in that context. Hashem said, I don't want you to go into Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
If you insist, I'll have to change. So Hashem does the will, fulfills the will of the tzaddikim. So it works. And then the pasuk continues, and it says, "Tikas of Zois, the Doir Achrain." This should be written for the later generation. We're going right. Hakavana, the intent was the Doir Ikvis of the Mashiach. It meant the generation at the end of time, right before Mashiach comes, is referring to our generation. That the concealment of the Rabbeinu Shloim and the darkness will be very great. And there won't be any vision from Hashem. There are so many people that are crying out and they don't feel like they're being answered. They should write this on their they should write this upon their hearts. That Hashem turns even to the tefillah of the Aror, even to the dry tefillah that seems to have nothing to it. V'shemeya tefillahs kol pe'ah, that Hashem listens to everyone's tefillah. A tefillah yevesh, even a dry tefillah. Yemashalei nana, why isn't he answered? Ki yesh cheshbonis lemala, because there are cheshbonis upstairs. If it's good for him, if it's good for him that his request should be answered, and when to fulfill his request, and through this, the power of this amuna, that Hashem listens to every tefillah, then even the nation in that last generation will praise Hashem. This will strengthen the heart of every yid to daven to Hashem. And it was according to this that Moshe davened that many tefillas. Even though Moshe was never answered. That was Hashem's will. As Chazal dashed, because it was for the good of Klal Yisrael that Moshe did not go into Eretz Yisrael. But his tefillahs were all accepted. And they actually made their mark. And they accomplished tremendous things. Through Moshe's tefillahs, at least accomplished that Hashem told him, go to the top of the mountain and look over into Eretz Yisrael. Through looking into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu merited to accomplish those tikkunim. That for the sake of these tikkunim, he wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe was able to accomplish that just by looking at Eretz Yisrael. The Sefer Ben Paris Yosef Toldos Chusin Aleinu maybe, and the Sefer Ben Paris Yosef from the author of the Toldos, he says Shemati Mi Modi. He says I heard from my Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov. Inyan Hatfila. The concept of tefillah, says the Baal Shem Tov, Yam, and a person has to believe. Kishe yotza mipiv nusach ha-tefillah, that when the tefillah comes out of his mouth, mashe shoyel miyad hunene, whatever a person asks, he's immediately answered. You'll ask, call the pama meino. There are many times when we haven't been answered. Shleim motza mubukashe, we haven't found what we've asked for. So the Baal Shem Tov, you've been answered. Whether you know that you've been answered or not is a different story. Adkan, the answer might be concealed from you, but every tefillah is immediately answered. Ha'emuna Shalkadosh Baruch Hu Shemeya Tefilasai. Thank you. the emuna that the Rebbeinu Shleilam, you know, they say there's a famous story of one of the high-ranking officials in the Israeli government at the time of when the state of Israel was established. So there was one of the high-ranking officials who's, you know, obviously was totally not religious, very secular, and his grandchildren, he had one child, and then all of this child's children all became religious, all became Bali Tshuva. And it was very surprising, because here we had a totally secular Jew, and his son or daughter was totally secular, and then all of their children became religious. So there was one of the directors of one of the Kira organizations decided that he wants to find out, there must have been something in the chinuch of this home that made all the children want to become religious. If I'm not mistaken, I think the grandfather was anti-religious. It was something very surprising to the faculty. So this director of the Kira organization went to visit the children, each one of the children separately. They couldn't put their finger on it. What was it that drove them to become religious? Went to the parents. Then finally went back to the grandmother, the wife of this official that was still alive. And he said to her, "Can you tell me something? Something? What is there? Was there anything religious in your life?
What went wrong?
Right. Anything religious in your life that you were able to transmit to your children?" So she said, "The only thing that I did, and then the only religious thing that I did that I remembered from my mother's home was that I lit candles on Friday nights. That was the extent of the observance of Shabbos." So she said, "Well, I'll tell you something interesting about the candle lighting Friday night." She said, "I remember that my mother used to pray for her children at candle lighting Friday night. For the children to be healthy and all that kind of stuff. My role model in life, my hero was Ben Gurion. So every Friday night, when I used to light candles, I used to pray that my children should be like Ben Gurion." She said, "That was until one day that my husband came home and he told me that he had accompanied Ben Gurion to visit the Chazon Ish. And that Ben Gurion came out of the home of the Chazon Ish all enthusiastic about the Chazon Ish's greatness. So I figured to myself that if Ben Gurion is all enthusiastic about the Chazon Ish, then the Chazon Ish must be greater than Ben Gurion. So from then on, I started davening that my children should be like the Chazon Ish." No tefillah goes unanswered. What do you got to
Even if it's not the way that you wanted it to be. I
don't know what happened to those first tefillahs.
Yeah.
But they were also Ben Gurion. They were like Ben Gurion, who admired the Chazon Ish.
Right, her children were like Ben Gurion, and her grandchildren both on their Ben Gurion.
Okay.
Munah Shah Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Here we go. Emuna, Shachadish Baruch Hu Shmei Tfilasai. The Emuna that the Rebbeinu Shalom listens to our Tfilas, the Echad Ayisoidis, the Kach Shat Tfilasai Shal Yehudi Tiyam Kubelas. The Emuna that Hashem listens to our Tfilas is one of the foundations that a Jew's Tfilas should be accepted. Shekiyadua, as it is known, Ayidehu Emuna Mamshecha Dova Shemanenboi, that through Emuna we actually draw upon the thing that we believe in. And with this emuna, we draw upon that our tefillah should be accepted. This is a concept throughout the Chassidish Svarim, that the word emuna comes from the word oimein. Oimein is adasa. When somebody the word amen means that he brought her up, he raised her,
nurtured her,
right? Somebody, so the emuna, one actually nurtures whatever they are have faith in. A person, but through that faith, gives that a koyach. So, if we believe that our tefillah is being answered, the more we believe in it, the more the tefillah will be answered. We find the Svarim HaKadoshim say that sometimes we see that a person doesn't have special powers, a certain tzaddik, but then that person becomes a leader. And people start believing that he has koiches, all of a sudden that person starts, he's able to give brachas, and the brachas are fulfilled, and he decrees something or other, and miracles happen. What happened? Just, you know, a month ago, he didn't have that koich. Difference is, his father passed away, and he became the leader. And the people started believing in him. Emuna has that koyach. Emuna has that koyach to give that you believe in power. And that was the koyach of Avodah Zarah. The people used to believe in Avodah Zarah. Emuna has that koyach to give things power. And it's actually terrible, right? Because when people start believing in certain things, the Rebbeinu Shleilam allows that to have power, and people can be totally turned away. We have a certain direct of the Torah, what we are allowed to believe in and what we're not allowed to believe in. V'chlal ha'emuna ha'chut ha'meshulash. Encompassed in emuna is a rope that is intertwined with three ropes, meaning aleph. First of all, emuna has to be emuna in Hashem's divine providence. He is the creator, he is the controller. He himself also created, oisa, creates, viyasa, and will create the cholam asim, everything that is created. Beis, the second dimension of emuna is kibloi levado roi lispal vein lizalosa roi lispal. That only to Hashem, it is only befitting to daven to Hashem and not to anything else. Gimel, and third of all, ki abori yizborach shemei ha-tefilas kol peh, that Rebbeinu Shleilam listens to everyone's tefillah. V'rachmo v'chasodov miyuchodim al b'nei Yisrael, and his compassion, his kindness is is unique to Bnei Yisrael. Even though we're unworthy, the Shavuos Aniyim Al Tishma, Hashem listens to the cry of the poor, Tzakas Adal Takshiv Seshia, and the outcry of the Dal of the impoverished, and in any way, Hashem listens and saves.